Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Boston is likely to have its first open mayoral seat since 2013. That's because Marty Walsh is expected to be confirmed as President-elect Joe Biden's labor secretary early in Biden's term. Now, Boston City Councilors Michelle Wu and Andrea Campbell had declared their candidacies for the job months ago. They could soon, though, have a lot of company. Stephanie Murray, author of the Political Massachusetts Playbook and co-host of the Horse Race podcast, is following the machinations as a field of candidates slowly starts to emerge. She joins us now. Stephanie, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, it's so great to speak with you.
So, Stephanie, this news that became official about Marty Walsh on Thursday, give me one word or phrase that kind of describes what happened next over the weekend.
Earthquake. I'm going to use a few more words, but this is really a once-in-a-decade opportunity for a lot of ambitious politicians in Boston, a city with not a lot of turnover, to become the next mayor.
So you said you were going to use a lot of words. What are some of the others?
It's hard to underscore how big of a deal this is. It's a big deal that Mayor Walsh is headed to the Biden administration to serve as labor secretary, as long as he's confirmed he's the nominee right now. But this mayor's race has the chance to completely reshape the leadership of the city. Boston's always been led by a white man since the city began. And right now, the two candidates who are in the race are both women of color.
Referring, of course, to Michelle Wu and Andrea Campbell, both of whom we've had on the show, as they declared. Who else are you hearing is poised to jump in?
Well, I have my eye on City Council President Kim Janey, who will become the acting mayor of the city and become Boston's first Black mayor, Boston's first woman mayor. If she decides to run for a full term, she'll have sort of a leg up. This is a similar situation as how the former, the late mayor Tom Menino rose to power. He was the city council president. Ray Flynn, who was the mayor then, was appointed U.S. ambassador to the Holy See by President Bill Clinton. Menino ran for a full term after he was elevated to acting mayor, and he stayed in power for two decades. So I have my eye on her. I'm not sure if she'll run for a full term. The other person that everyone is buzzing about today is the Boston Police Commissioner, who's kind of teasing that he's looking at a run. He's not totally decided, but, people close to him are saying that he's 90-95% sure he's going to jump in. And then some others on my short list are Boston City Councilor Anissa Asabi George, her fellow councilors Ed Flynn, Michael Flaherty, Ricardo Arroyo, of all, their names have been out there making phone calls. State Senators Nick Collins and Sonia Jane Diaz, John Santiago, a state representative, Suffolk County Sheriff Steve Tompkins. You're listening to me make this list.
Right.
It's a lot of people, and the race is shaping up to be crowded. You could see a dozen people get in and try to run for mayor.
So, we saw a very crowded field in the congressional race to replace Joe Kennedy. And obviously, ultimately, Jake Auchincloss won that seat. He ran against, he was a progressive or a self-claimed progressive. Many observers argued he was less progressive than a whole passel of other people also running. You've got a couple of different lanes kind of obviously being occupied, Stephanie, by the list of names you're giving. Two people from law enforcement, many Boston City Councilors, for example. Any thought about how likely it is that each of those lanes really will be crowded, or are people going to kind of sniff this out, see who's really serious, and then many of the prospects won't actually wind up jumping in?
That's the big question that we're all looking at and kind of waiting to see what happens. Senator Elizabeth Warren endorsed Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu, who's been running for mayor for a few months now. She did that over the weekend. Perhaps, a sign that this race is already underway and to, shore up support. Andrea Campbell, already in the race, is, saying that she's gaining momentum, touting her fundraising. So it seems like they're trying to kind of show that the race has formed. But on the other hand, like you said, with a crowded race like this, you can win the the election with a pretty small share of the vote. You could get 15 to 20% of voters in Boston voting for you and end up being the next mayor. So when it comes to kind of these particular issues, police reform or no police reform, a law enforcement candidate versus someone who's advocating for changes to the police department, shore up different bases around the city, those types of issues could really form the race in a way that they wouldn't if there were fewer candidates. The other thing to keep your eye on is kind of the ground game in the neighborhoods. Like, as we're seeing people get in, you've got to look at where their support is, how big those neighborhoods are, how big of a name they are, because that'll really shape this race. Even in the pandemic, the ground game is going to be essential.
So I want to ask you timing on all of this. I know that that one big number or date, excuse me, is March 5th, because if Mayor Marty Walsh is confirmed to his new appointment before March 5th, the calendar unfolds differently than if afterward. Can you talk a little more about that?
That's right. And this is a little bit unusual. So if the mayor's race goes to a special election, my guess is that it would benefit Michelle Wu and Andrea Campbell because they've already raised about $500,000 each. They've been in the race. They've got some endorsements. They're not starting from square one like some of these other candidates. On the other hand, if the election goes kind of the way it was planned to be in September, no special election, I think it would probably benefit Kim Janey if she decides to run for a full term, because she'll have kind of a longer runway as the incumbent. Another mechanism to change this would be if it was supposed to go to a special election, the city council could, you know, send a home rule petition to the state legislature and get them to change it to have the election go without a special election. But kind of adding to the confusion there is that it's still a pandemic. We have a brand new speaker in the state house. It's not clear to me that committee assignments and committees will be fully formed in time for something like that to happen. So there, all of these moving pieces are not quite in place just yet.
So it's interesting, Stephanie, in listening to you, there's so much motion, but we really are still at one giant watch this space. Do you have some sense of when you think we're going to shake out with a little more clarity? Is that a couple weeks off? Is it a couple months off? When do you think we're going to start to really have a sense for the contours of this race?
I think that it's going to come in the next several weeks. To give you a sense of how quickly people got in motion, you know, my excellent Politico colleagues in D.C. scooped this news that Mayor Walsh was headed to the Biden administration in the afternoon. And by that evening, potential candidates were gathering in their living rooms around Boston with their allies and talking on the phone. All of this just kicked into gear really quickly. And it has to, because if a special election is coming, you've got to get together, raise your money, do your stuff. Time is kind of the essence. And even for an election in September, we're already halfway through January. Like, it's coming up. So I think this will all continue to be in high gear for the next couple of weeks.
Well, we will keep watching it. That's Stephanie Murray, author of the Politico Massachusetts Playbook and co-host of the Horse Race podcast, which follows Massachusetts politics, policy, and elections. Stephanie, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
So as we just said, lots of unknowns about what will happen next in the mayor's office in Boston, but it seems almost certain that City Council President Kim Janey will become the next mayor of Boston, and she would be the first woman and the first person of color in the role. She would also be the first mother, as former Massachusetts Governor Jane Swift points out in WBUR's Cognoscenti today. Swift was at one point the highest profile working mother in the country. She reflects on that experience in her piece, which is called "With Mayor Kim Janey, Boston Media Would Have This Rare Chance, a Do-Over." And she also joins us to talk about it. Governor Swift, welcome back.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today.
So let's just do a second of horse race here, because I know you heard at least part of what Stephanie Murray was talking about there. What are you thinking as you watch all the hullabaloo over the beginning of this mayoral race?
Well, you know, open races are a great opportunity, and certainly a special election creates even more of an opportunity for lots of folks to flex their political ambition. The landscape in Boston has changed dramatically. Just look at the complexion of the city council, which now has more women and more people of color than we've ever seen in history. And that seems destined to result in not only a large field, but a very diverse field. And I think that's fantastic.
So I want to go back now to the year 2000. I was not yet a mother, but I would be less than 2 years later. And I remember watching events unfold. President George W. Bush nominated Governor Paul Cellucci to be his ambassador to Canada. You became acting governor. You were expecting. And you became the first woman to serve as governor in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. All of that was so on your mind that as this unfolded and it became clear that Kim Janey is likely to be acting mayor of Boston, you wanted to write about it. Tell me why.
Well, so, you know, it's very bad politics to talk out and speak out about sexism when it's directed at you. And I was told that very often, and it was very true. Right? You don't want to sound like you're whining. There's no crying in baseball or in politics. But one of the things that I promised myself, particularly as a mother of three daughters, and I think you've heard some of this referred to from the vice president-elect, is that, you know, you do have an obligation to do the job well while you're in it, but then hopefully make it easier for those who come behind you. And one way you can do that is that when you're out of office, you can speak up. And there are so many parallels between the city council president as she prepares to take office. And I'm just struck, right? It's almost exactly 20 years later, and she is going to be an unelected, first-time historic person in a very powerful role in the middle of multiple crises. She needs the power of the office and the, frankly, press to treat her the same way they treated Mayor Menino when he took over as the mayor under similar circumstances.
So it strikes me, Governor, that it's not just the media, and I'm not deflecting simply because I am media, but I remember that time. It was our full public discourse, whether it was in book groups or at the water cooler, et cetera. What are you hoping to make better or help make better for a Kim Janey?
Well, I do think that we have progressed as a country, and you're right. The media are a reflection of what's going on in society. I was in the Title IX generation. I was in high school when Title IX passed. And one of the things I commented today on Twitter in the reaction to my column was that when a lot of sexism in the coverage of me, when people would talk about my appearance instead of my policies, when people were so interested in my husband and what his role would be instead of what my tax policy was, it made me appreciate my parents and how they had raised me to believe that I could do anything I wanted to do. I think that's increasingly becoming true and is not just true in the households where parents believe it, but we have to make it increasingly true in our Commonwealth. But I don't want to totally let the press off the hook, because while it's true that they're a mirror for what folks may be talking about, I think we have learned over the past weeks that when the press chooses to focus on certain narratives, it gives voice to and brings attention to certain storylines that don't help our elected officials to govern, or in fact, can minimize their ability to govern effectively.
So stop focusing on the artifacts of the person's family, for example, and more on their policy proposals.
Well, I think, first of all, let's apply the rules the same if we have a female or a male in the office. I can't imagine anybody asks Charlie Baker, you know, how his wife feels about being at home with her children if they were little. I know for a fact that when I was governor and gave birth, that just a few weeks before that, the governor of Rhode Island had had to take a fairly long break from his duties and in fact chose to go to Florida to have prostate surgery. And people were not up in arms. But when I took a few weeks off to give birth to my children, you would have thought we were in a full-blown constitutional crisis, when in fact, lots of 30-year-old women have to juggle work and family at that point in their lives.
Governor Swift, What is better now already? I mean, here we have Kim Janey preparing potentially to be the next mayor of Boston. We have Vice President Kamala Harris preparing to come into office. We are in a different time. You've noticed it's 20 years. In our last half a minute or so, what is better already?
So I think, first of all, there are more role models for the city council president to look to. It's hard to be first. I think that Kim Janey will find it, I hope, very reassuring that there is a female person of color as her vice president. And so not being the only, she'll find community and places that she can go to for advice, both private and, I hope, when she needs to, more publicly. And that in and of itself makes a big difference.
That is former Massachusetts Governor Jane Swift, and we will have a link to her piece in Cognoscenti called With Mayor Kim Janey. Boston media would have this rare chance, a do-over. It'll be on our website at radioboston.org. Governor Swift, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.